How many of you, I imagine a few of you, how many of you remember Jiminy Cricket? How many of you have ever heard of Jiminy Cricket? I thought of him. I really did when I thought of today's sermon. Jiminy Cricket. Not Pinocchio. There are enough long noses going on in the world. That's for sure. But did you like that? I thought that. See,
I'm sorry, I laughed a little too loud.
I thought that was really good. I did. I just came to me and I thought, oh, I'm going to say. See, at my age, I can say whatever I want. Did I say that, Kay? Uh-huh. Anyway, Jiminy Cricket was Pinocchio's reminder that if you do something bad, I'm going to correct you. If you do something good, I'm going to praise you. And here's what you're going to do. If you want to be a real boy, you've got to do these things. And Jiminy Cricket became really his conscience. And I thought, how appropriate in today's lesson, because the lesson, you'll see when we read it from Romans, is pretty much what confused a lot of things in the life of Paul. And I thought, you know, that's really something that we're facing today. The masks that we wear, the masks that go on in our society, what people portray, how they portray themselves, how they come across, things that then we react to. And I know all of you, like me, react. And I'm aware of that. We react to things going on in society. We react to things that don't happen. And we get mad, or we get happy, and we laugh, or we cry, or we sulk, don't we? All these things, the masks that we wear. And I thought, you know, how does this apply to our faith journey realistically? And I heard it a lot during Irma. I did. I heard it from people. I heard it on the radio. I heard it on television. When it was on, I heard it from people all over the place. Why did God do this? Well, it's the end times, I can tell. The person said, I can tell. Greater than God. Okay. I heard people say, well, it's happening because of sin. Well, okay, that's as good a reason as any for the wind to blow hard and blow stuff apart. Awful piles of sin all over the place, but okay. Then I heard all of the questions, how are we going to solve this problem of Puerto Rico? How are we going to solve the problem still going on in Houston? How are we going to do the problem still going on in Florida? How are we going to? And the military says, well, maybe we have. Then the politicians say, well, we definitely don't have an answer. And then we have people just guessing. Somehow something's going to work out. Don't worry about it. Right? And so the mask that makes up the human situation. And I thought, how's the application? Open your Bibles to Romans, the 7th chapter. This little bit of stuff that I had in your bulletin, 7 verses 14 through 24. Actually, it's going to be verses 14 through 25. So that's all right. That's preacher's deliberation. Paul writes to the Romans, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil's right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Poor Paul. He really is confused and could use Jiminy Cricket. If anybody needed one, he sure did there. I want to journey today into three areas, and I don't want this to sound like a lecture in psychology. But I think when I look around the world today, when I look around our own nation, when I look around the church, I see the problems that are there and the masks that we wear, because I see the masks that I put on as well. So it affects all of us, because there are three parts that make up really who we are and how we function. And here's where the psychology comes in. The id, and all of you know what the id is. The id is that most important part. That is our, that's our innermost being. That's the one that tells us what to do. That's our character ingredients. That tells us what to eat and what to drink, to blink your eyes, to breathe. The id is that thing that keeps us going the way we go. But the id is the one mask that we just take for granted. That's waking up in the morning and yawning and wishing that you could stay in bed for another hour. And no, you can't. The id. Me. But that other mask that sometimes gets in the way is called the ego. And the ego is that one that tells you, this is where Paul was writing his letter. He's talking about the ego. I do what I want to do, but I should be doing something else which is better, and I wanted to, but I don't know what I need, and I should be doing, and that's ego. That's ego. Ego gets in the way of a lot of things. Ego tells you that I really am something else. Ego is the thing that we depend on to really function the way we function. Ego is the one that forms our hatreds, also our love. Ego is the one that tells me how great I art. Ego is the one that tells me that I'm proud of my humility. Ego is the one that gets in the way most of the time in terms of who we really are. ego. That's what bothered Paul a lot. I think that got in his way a great deal. And when he was writing this scripture that I read to you, that's basically what was going on. But the one mask that really is there, the one that is fortuitous, I think, created by God for a good reason, is the superego. And the superego is even better because it's the one that tells you what's right and this is what you need to do and this is what's wrong and that's what you need to stay away from. That's the mask. That's the good part of us. And it makes up who we are. Because all three of those masks, all three of them get in the way of one another and cause a confusion that really sometimes reigns. And we've certainly seen it during the past couple of months, haven't we? Not only during natural disasters, but also during reaction and rebellion and revolt and all kinds of stuff. We're talking this morning about kneeling during the national anthem. If I were black, I would too, I think. I'm mad. Bigotry is not good. Bigotry and prejudice is never good. I don't care where it applies. So if that's your way of having a revolt, okay. You're not hurting anybody. That's superego. Not ego, not id, but it's getting in the way of everybody else who has id, ego, and superego. That's where it bothers you. Because you're ingrained with things that really are impossible to change. You know what they tell us, which is rather frightening. We have all of our faith and our inhibitions and our prejudices, and our loves, and our likes and dislikes formed by the age of 5. They only get stronger, but by the age of 5, you've got all of these things built in. And they're in your id, and they're in your ego, and they're in your superego. A little bit, because the superego changes as we grow older. This is where Paul was having a great problem with his faith. I know what's good. I know what I should do. But sometimes sin just stinks in and ruins everything. And I do things that I shouldn't do. And I think things I shouldn't think. And I act on those things. Superego comes in. Because you notice the ass part. Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ. There's a way out. There's a way out of all of the stuff that builds up and ruins you. I like to call it the Holy Spirit. And allowing the Holy Spirit to take over. To mold you and shape you and change you. And bring you to bear against things that sometimes is pretty hard to change. I know at my age, I change less and less. Barbara knows that as well. But I change. I change. The resiliency of your soul is your superego. The resiliency that God has given you to allow your mind and open your soul and open your life to the Spirit of God working in you. That changes you and that changes our world. That becomes a reality when we come around the table on a World Communion Sunday and we remember God's world is larger. larger than our hatred and larger than our prejudice and larger than our closed-mindedness and larger, really, than any human being has ever allowed, because God's love is greater than we can ever imagine. You know, when we say that prayer of confession, and I say, we are forgiven. Someone told me once, that's the most important part of the church service, as far as I'm concerned. To know that God loves me and forgives me, and I want to add, and accepts me the way I am, with my bruises and my imperfections. That's what Jesus did at the communion that night he was betrayed by someone who loved money more than him. And Jesus said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. Take it and eat, remembering me." Remembering me. At this moment. And then taking the cup and saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for everyone for the forgiveness of sins. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you show my presence." That's why we're here, isn't it? To show the presence of the living Christ. God, our Father, we're grateful that you call us to be a servant people. We're grateful that you humble our pride. We're grateful that you give us a chance to always start again. Be with us now. Help us to refresh our spirits in the cup and in the bread of our Lord. Amen.